This is our fourth lesson from this chapter, and there's going to be more. We're not done yet. If you remember the last time, it's been 2 weeks since we were in Revelation. We took another topic last week, but the last time we were in verses 8 and 9, talking about the great mountain burning with fire that was cast into the sea. Tonight we're going to be in, and that was the second angel that had sounded his trumpet. Tonight we're in verses 10 and 11, talking about the third angel. And Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll be looking at the fourth angel. But if you remember what we studied last time about the great mountain burning with fire that was cast into the sea, I've told you, I think some of you have taken some copies of the book home that I've been looking at, comparing notes with, and trust me, I do compare what I read on this matter with the scripture also, as well we should, with the book Let's Study Revelation by E.G. Cook, seems to be more in line with our type of Baptist and what we believe the scripture to say on things. Now, if you've read through that book or started reading through that book, you're going to see a few things that maybe we don't agree with. But that's going to, he's a man, or was a man. He's passed away now, but there are going to be things that commentaries that we're going to see that are not true to God's word. If we were to write one ourselves, I'm sure come back to it a few years later and see our mistakes. I have kept a lot of my sermons on my computer. Some of the early ones before I had a computer, I've got in a notebook stashed away somewhere that I don't remember where it's at. But they're there. I saw them when I moved. So, but you go back and read some of your older things that you've written or preached, and you pick up on things that maybe you either misspoke at the time, or maybe the Lord has shown you different since then on some things. And that happens. So that's why we're not trying to use commentaries, strictly use commentaries for this study. Now, that being said, Brother Cook mentioned that possibly, he didn't say for sure, and I appreciate the way he writes that this great mountain, and we looked at that last time, was possibly the Catholic Church. And we talked about that, and we compared scripture. We went and looked at the scriptures on that. We looked in, and I don't have my notes from last time. I don't remember exactly the scriptures we looked at, but we looked at a few different scriptures on that, as far as a mountain, a great mountain, in scripture being, in places being a city, or in particularly Jerusalem. We know Rome has been mentioned as being a city on seven hills. There are other places where a great mountain is compared to a kingdom, not just a city, but a kingdom, or a country that is great with power at the time of their existence. And so this, I would have to agree with Brother Cook that this seems to fit. But also like him, I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. We may be missing it, the point here, but that's what I see too after studying the scripture on the matter. Now, going along with that, verses 10 and 11, let's read. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The waters made bitter, not the men. Understand that. Because some will even try to distort that. But he's referring to the waters becoming bitter. This great star that falls from heaven. I think most of us have heard most of our lives, that, you know, this great star from heaven, is this possibly a comet or a asteroid? The same thing has been taught on this great mountain that was burning with fire. The great mountain, there's nothing that says it comes from heaven. We noticed we talked about that last time, so I think we can rule that out for sure on that one. This great star from heaven. What do we see about in our studies so far? What do we see about stars? Well, if you go back to chapter 6, and remember I told you in the beginning of this study, I told you, I try to remind you of this, there's going to be times where we're going to go back to something. We're going to come across something in our study tonight, and we're going to go back to something we've already studied. There's going to be things that, and I purposely do this, there's going to be things that we're not going to study right now, because when we get a little further into the study, it'll make more sense if we study it at that time. Because we're going back to what I said about John's writing this book, it's in chronological order if you follow it. But he also goes back and forth. So there's things that he sees that are happening right now, and then later when the Lord shows him something else, that something else is also happening at the same time as the first thing he saw. So remember that. Now, chapter 6, verse 13, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is taken of a mighty wind." The stars of heaven, and the stars here are plural. They're not singular like we see the great star. In some places in Scripture, stars, pastors, priests are referred to as stars. In chapter 8, this great star, notice it's just plural. I mean, it's a singular. It's one. Chapter 6, verse 13, they're plural. There's stars. There's multiple stars. One of the thoughts here is that these stars are pastors or priests of false churches that have fallen. And we know that's going to happen. And we'll get more into that study even deeper as we go along. Is it possible that those stars are the false preachers and false pastors and priests that are going to fall at the time, at the same time that the Catholic Church falls because of her blasphemy against the Lord? These would be the false churches who are under the rule of their mother church in Rome, the great harlot in Rome. If the great mountain mentioned in verse 8 is the fall of the Catholic Church itself, would it not make sense then that the great star that falls from heaven would be the Pope himself? Now, here's the controversy with that. People say, well, it says it falls from heaven. Well, just like many of the other words that we look at and dissect in Scripture, words have different meanings. If you look at the word heaven, the root word of the word heaven is heave. One of the meanings of that means to raise up or to exalt above others. And we know the Pope himself has been exalted above all others on this earth according to the Roman Catholic religion. He's even exalted above Christ himself. Remember, the Pope is looked to by many as a heavenly star. Whether you want to call him a star like we think of as a movie star or a rock star or whatever, or as it says here, in verse 10, burning as it were a lamp. Now, what do we normally think of as a lamp? And we know earlier in Revelation we saw the golden candlesticks. And we also see where the Lord's people are compared to, or talked about as being the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Burning as it were a lamp. In other words, burning like it was a lamp. Not a lamp, but not a true lamp, but like a lamp. Is that not what the Roman Catholicism, is that not what they teach? Is that they claim to be the true church. They would be like a lamp, but it's a false lamp. And the light that it brings is not the light of Christ. The Pope, in many ways, and you won't hear them talk about this much because it's, they don't like to say it because it people are not comfortable with it, even today. But the Pope himself thinks he's higher than God. And you look at just recently, in this past, past couple of years, maybe in the past year, I don't remember, the Pope that's in power now came out and changed some of the scriptures. Or tried to change them. I should say he tried. He can't change them, but according to them, he did. He changed some of the scriptures to fit what he wanted. Because he thinks he's higher than God. He thinks he knows better than God himself. Some even try to say that the Pope is God himself. And there is that belief out there. And even the Pope claims to be the representative of Christ on earth. He's not. We don't need a man as a representative of our Lord. Our Lord is his own representative. Yeah. Now, some say it's not, some say it's not possible because verse 10 says the great star falls from heaven, so it must be a comet or a meteor, or maybe even an actual star. You know, there's some that teach that I've heard different ways, but they will say, well, this mountain, this great mountain back in verse 8 and this great star in verse 10 are meteors. Well, how come they're described differently? They can't both be the same thing. They're different. Different objects, different type of objects, objects or people, if you will. And remember, we looked at last time as the sea. Water oftentimes in the scripture is referred to as people. A body of water, whether it's a sea or a river or a lake. And many times in the scripture is referred to, people are referred to as being like a multitude of people, I should say. Not just a group, but a multitude, a great number of people are often referred to as like a sea or a river. It says in verse 10, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Notice this time it's not upon the seas. The great mountain fell upon the seas. But this great star goes further and much deeper into the earth than the seas. It goes on up into the continents, into the landmass itself. The great mountain disrupted the sea. The great star goes further by going up the rivers and the fountains of waters, the springs and the geysers and whatever else you want to compare there, but it goes deeper, even than the seas. It's not just, we looked at last time, as the seas and the ships being destroyed, we talked about, talking about the economic effects of this and how this was going to affect trade and all that. Now, with it going up the rivers and the mountains, the great star affecting the rivers and the mountains, rivers and the fountains, it's going to hit home. In other words, it's going to hit where the people are, not just the trade, not just the business world, but the individual people. Notice rivers and fountains are smaller bodies of water than a sea. Remember, as we look at this, remember that we are in the part of Revelation where John is using types and pictures. Don't forget that as we study these seals. As a matter of fact, what we study the rest of this book are going to be types and pictures. We talked about chapter 6, verse 13. The root word of heaven is he. We talked about that. And speaking of the Pope, how has not the religious world raised up the Pope above everyone else? Is not this man, and yes, he is a man. Now, if you want to get into spiritual matters, he's not controlling himself. He being controlled by the prince of this world. This man has exalted even higher, has been exalted even higher than Christ himself in many ways. So, could this be what John is explaining here? This great star that has falsely lighted the world for many generations will fall from his heaven during the last 3 years of the tribulation. Now, we're not going to get into exactly what part of the tribulation this is in tonight. That will be for another study. But this Pope, this leader of the religious, the one world religion, which will be at this time that we're talking about, this man that is ahead of that, is going to fall. And we'll see that in a few chapters. Now, Wormwood, verse 11, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. It gives us a name. This Wormwood, if you do a little bit of a study on that, and I didn't go into great detail, but basically, it's a plant, or it comes from a plant, actually, and don't ask me to pronounce it, because it's a Greek term, so I'm not good with Greek, but it comes from a plant that grows in desolate places. Desolate, is that not what, is not the Roman Catholic Church spiritually desolate? It is. And so, this wormwood, the name that it gives this star, the Pope himself, comes from a desolate place. And it says if you put it in water, if it's in water, comes in contact with water, it will make the water bitter and even poisonous to humans. Is that not what the Pope has been? In Lamentations chapter 3, and this kind of goes along with what we're studying on Wednesday nights in the book of Jeremiah, in Lamentations, chapter 3, remember, the book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. Lamentations, chapter 3, in verse 15. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. If you back up there a little bit, I was a derision to all my people in their song all today. He will fill me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul afar off from peace. I forget prosperity. Wormwood is spoken of here as calamity and hard times and things that have Jeremiah is lamenting over what has happened to Jerusalem, in particular Judah and his people there. He's in great grief over what's happened. And this wormwood, he says, he talks about being bitter, the bitterness that he's filled with because of the Jeremiah speaking in pictures and types here also. He's drank of the bitterness of what has happened. And he says he's drunken with it. In other words, he's had excess of it. He's overflowed with this bitterness. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5 and verse 7. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning and make the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Wormwood in verse 7 is talking about injustice. It says, ye who turn judgment to wormwood. In other words, your judgment is bitter. And leave off righteousness. In other words, your judgment's not going to be righteous judgment. It's not going to be justice or a righteous judgment in the earth. So, back in Revelation chapter 8, who down through history has been more clamorous than the Pope in Rome? I don't know if I said that right or not. It's a big word. Than the Pope in Rome? No one. Who has committed more injustices against God's people than the Pope in Rome? No one. Not since their beginning has anyone brought so much grief and pain and injustices against the people of God than the Pope in Rome. Even today, we see it today. And we think we're immune to it here, but we're not. There's many who look at, I'm not sure, not so much on the local level, but you look at the state level and the national level, federal level. Look at the politicians who claim to be Catholic. And look at what they stand for. I would dare say the numbers, the percentages are high. So I would say 75% or more will vote for abortion, which goes against the teachings of their so-called church. The same percentage or close to it are for homosexual marriage. Therefore, all kinds of sins against man and against God. And yet they claim to be good, faithful Catholics. And their church doesn't discipline them for it. You very seldom do you ever, and there's been times, I know in recent years we have seen, I believe even the Speaker of the House and some others that were high up, their priest chastise them for something they voted for, but it didn't change their mind. They went ahead and done it anyway. So yes, we are, whether we realize it or not, we are persecuted by Catholicism in our nation today. We look down through history, and of course I think all of us here are familiar with church history, in particular Baptist history, and we see what our forefathers went through and how they were martyred and tortured all through the ages and all over the world, even not just in Europe. It happened here in the United States. It's happened in South America. It's happened in Asia, other places around the world. It has happened. In many places, Roman Catholicism has been a worse enemy than paganism. And I say that, but in reality, they're not much different, other than the fact they try to claim Christ, and they try to claim that the injustices that they commit against others are in the name of Christ. Remember, in history, and when the explorers, the Spanish explorers and the French explorers came over from Europe and came to the New World, look at, read the histories of Central and South America. They wiped out whole civilizations, all in the name of Christ. Christ didn't tell them to do that. That's not, the Lord's churches were never commanded to go in and kill everybody. Israel was, and if you look deep enough, you'll find that that's their reasoning behind that, that they believe that, in some twisted way, that the Lord's churches, their version of the church has replaced Israel, and so they have a right to come to a new world and totally annihilate all civilizations there. And they didn't just do that. They raped and pillaged, stole, everything imaginable. They did. And all in the name of Christ. And this was the Roman Catholicism. They did it under the orders of the Pope. When the Pope in Rome is finally brought to an end, it will be like wormwood in the waters of the world. When we talk about waters being like people, which represent the masses of population around the world, his death is going to be bitter, and many are going to die because of their drinking of his false doctrine. There's many that are going to die because they have followed, and not just die in this life, but for eternity, because they followed the great whore in Rome. We'll get more into the Catholic Church and the Pope and the one world religion and all that as we go along in this study, because it's about to play a big part, a bigger part than what we've already looked at tonight. We'll get into it in a few more chapters, and we'll see how John describes some things there that makes no doubt who is who in these last days in the last days of the earth during the tribulation. We'll stop there for tonight. We'll pick up next week, Lord willing, with verses 12 and 13 and finish the chapter. I had thought maybe we would cover two trumpets in one service, but it's not possible. There's too much. Even reading ahead and looking at the others, there's too much there. So we'll keep it to one. It'll be less confusing for me. But read ahead. I encourage you to read ahead. See what's coming up, what we're going to be studying next. Study it for yourself. You see something that I'm not seeing, let me know. I'm not against someone else showing me some truth if I've missed it. And like I said, there's going to be things in this study that we're not going to understand. And when we get to those things, we need to admit it and move on. Even when there's commentaries that try to tell us what it says, I'll tell you, there's some of the commentaries I've looked at on some of these things, even after reading their commentaries, still don't make any sense, because what they wrote didn't make any sense, didn't match what the scripture said. And so that's why I'm very careful about what commentaries I do read, because I don't need any more confusion in my mind right now. So this is just this is a good study. The Lord commanded us to study it, so we're going to study it. So we'll stop there for tonight.